escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. If you take a look at the Royals lineup, you know what? The Royals lineup, it's not really that bad. Now, the Royals have made a lot of roster moves to get ready for the players that they have just added. If you're looking at the lineup that they plan on trotting out there today, you know what? This gives you a chance. Now, it still has a couple of holes in it. But this is certainly a lineup that you feel you can work with. India, Witt Jr., Pasquantino, Garcia, Perez, Yastrzemski, Grichuk, Frazier, Isbell, and they got Michael Wacha going on the mound today as the Royals travel up north to play Toronto in a very important three-game set. This is a lineup that you can live with. The Royals lineup this season is never going to be perfect. They also were never going to be able to acquire the sort of impact bat that you possibly needed. But this is maybe the best version of a lineup that they've had the entirety of the season. You are certainly a lot better at 6-9 than you've been at any point this season. There's not a lot of glaring holes that are in this team. I mean, we looked at Yastrzemski's on base percentage. He's a guy that walks and can get on base. Grichuk's going to give you a professional at bat. Isbell's been fine this year. I mean, I think this is the best lineup that the Royals have put out there all season. I know we were all excited about Jack Caglione. I'm sorry, that might be a next year conversation. I'm not interested in putting Jack Caglione back out there to hit 150 and not get on base, at least not while this team is playing from behind and trying to get back into the playoff conversation. Now, Jack comes back, the Royals might be out of it, then yeah, give him some more ABs. But if you're going to be in it, and the Royals, I think, have at least communicated to us that they believe that they are still in it, that they are going for it, they are trying to make the postseason, then I think this has to be the form of the lineup that they need to trot out there on more days than not. Now, depending on righty, lefty, they'll end up having some matchups. But I do think, Rob, that this is the best possible lineup that the Royals can put together for the second portion of the season.
This is an indictment on the Royals lineup before today, because I feel like if this was the Royals lineup on June 11th, because remember, June, they went through the epitome of a June swoon. They were really bad in June. If this was their lineup on like June 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, pick a day in June when things went so wrong, I think they wouldn't just be like around the race. They would be in the race. I'm not trying to confuse people and say this is the 15 lineup or this is the 21 Yankees or anything like that. But this is a lineup that is professional hitters top to bottom. They're flawed. Like, it's not the Dodgers lineup, but I'd much rather have Mike Yastrzemski take an at-bat and write 100 times out of 100 before the combination of Melendez and Rave and that group was in June. Adam Frazier is an imperfect player, but at least he has a value defensively and offensively. You're right about Jack Caglione. He has a lot of buzz, a lot of hype. But right now, I'd much rather Randall Grichuk, at least as a split guy, as a platoon, be in the lineup than him right now. So it's not the greatest lineup of all time, but it's so much better than it was, which is just furthering the thought with the Royals, which is the offense was so, so bad that a lineup now that feels like, what, if you were just ballpark it, that's maybe the 21st best offense in baseball. That's just an enormous jump forward from the dregs we have watched in Kansas City for most of the season.
I think a lot of it, honestly, is what were your expectations going into the deadline? And as we've talked about, once the Royals told you that they were not trading Seth Lugo, I think that this was always going to be the plan. There's no question in my mind that the Royals are better now than they were before the deadline. Now, is that enough? I don't know. I don't have the answer. I mean, the answer probably is no to that, just given the kind of deficit that they're in. But again, they have made the improvements, I think, to be better in 2025 and also position themselves from a pitching standpoint to be better and more equipped heading into 2026, where you can start with a clean slate. I don't really know how you could have gone into this trade deadline with much greater expectations. The Royals were never going to take that big swing. I don't know if they're at a point as an organization to take that big swing. They're not at a point where you trade Sean Manaea to go get Ben Zobrist, or you go try to go get Johnny Cueto because you feel like he's the missing piece towards a championship run. That's not where the Royals are as an organization. The Royals are actually what they just did. Hey, can we get a little bit better to potentially make a move here at the second half of the season? And if we can't make that move at the second half of the season, we feel like we are positioned in 2026 where we really like our core, we really like our foundation, and now we got to go outside the organization to possibly find that big piece to go get the guy that we need. I mean, I think they've played this trade deadline correctly, at least for where they are in their stage of development and trying to be a consistent, proven winning team and a playoff team.
This is why yesterday when we were giving out letter grades for the trade deadline, I gave it an A-. It's because I think the Royals have positioned themselves to be in the race for the rest of 2025. Now, you don't get an award. You don't get a medal. You're not the Indianapolis Colts. You're not going to hang a banner that says, man, we stayed in the race the entire way. If they don't make the postseason, it's still a disappointing season. But they position themselves where they're not going to fall out of the race. They will be, kind of like 2013, a topic of discussion down the stretch, even with the Chiefs on the field, about, hey, maybe they're 3.5 back, they're still in it, which there is some value in that, but they mostly position themselves for 2026. I saw some national pundits that were a little bit down on the Royals' deadline, and I don't understand it at all. Me and you were in the same thought. 2025, they are better and they can compete. They'll probably fall short, but they can compete. And in 2026, you've set yourself up to make a big swing trade if you want, because you have the ability to do so and still be a team that can compete for the division. Like, that's, you want to position yourself for the now and the later, and they did that. Great. That's a great job by the Royals.
I want to read a tweet to you guys, and we'll start talking football here coming up in just a bit, but I think this is really important. So I follow a website. It's called covers.com. It's a very comprehensive gambling site, certainly worthy on going on there and getting some information. They tweeted out, we have our first bad beat of the season in the Hall of Fame game. The Chargers had 126 rushing yards, and then they took a kneel at the end. That lost 5 yards. So therefore, as a team, they finished with 121 rushing yards. And if you took the Chargers to have 125 rushing yards or more, that was plus 110. I am telling you right now that if you are that deep into the gambling, that you were on there and you were going for team rushing props for the Hall of Fame game, I'm telling you that you're lost. I told you guys this before, that gambling on the Hall of Fame game should be an, it should have your app should shut you out. It should shut you out. You shouldn't be allowed to gamble for the month of August if you're on there because you have a problem. If you get a bad beat, can you imagine you're at Buffalo Wild Wings and just having a nice meal? Or you're just there to get a beer at the bar, and there's some guy that is very oddly just upset about what's happening in the Hall of Fame game. And you look to him and you think, hey, is everything okay? And he says, oh, man, I mean, I just lost my bet. And you're thinking, What, in the baseball game? No, not the baseball game, the Hall of Fame game. I took over 125 team rushing yards. I'm telling you right now, you need to leave. Immediately. And you, I can't do it. Rob, did you gamble on this in any capacity?
No.
Okay, because I'm saying that's an HR violation. I'm reporting you to HR if you did. I'm not joking. A bad beat on team rushing yards in the Hall of Fame game? Did you watch any of the Hall of Fame game? I only watched it yesterday because I was out to eat, and it was on in the background. I just looked at the screen.
I did not watch it. I actually went out and got some dinner and drinks with some friends, and then we went and watched a movie. So I did not. I saw clips on social media. People were saying football is back, and I was like, "Stop it! Football's not back in July. We got to put a moratorium on the term football is back for the Hall of Fame game between Trey Lance." By the way, they went from. I saw this tweet. Trey Lance exited the game, and DJ Uiagalelei took the field. That's not football's back.
Someone said, "CDOT, didn't Dusty and Gold bet on this?" I don't know. They also should call the number. This doesn't have exceptions to it. There's like, oh, well, I know them. No, you have a problem. You have a problem. If you're betting the over-under on the Hall of Fame game, I'm telling you, 1-800-BETS-OFF. You have a problem. There will be plenty of football bets for you to get throughout the course of the year. And in the regular season game, bet whatever. I don't care. I bet random things during the NFL regular season. It's a game that counts. I don't even mind if you bet on some obscure things. I mean, I've bet on a Jake Paul fight before. So, I mean, maybe I'm not the right person to give you this message. But the Hall of Fame game, I mean, come on now. What are we doing here? You don't know who's on the field. I don't know who's trying, who's not trying. I mean, it's a cry for help is what it is. It's a legitimate cry for help. I've actually never lost a bet betting on Jake Paul. His fights are the easiest to predict. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about the top two stories in the National Football League. Micah Parsons wants to be traded. So does Terry McLaurin. None of it matters. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. There's a lot of things that I want to talk about, a lot of things that I want to touch on. Let's get to it here. Why don't we start with the number one story is right now in the NFL. Micah Parsons and the Cowboys have been going back and forth for basically the entire offseason. It is clear what the issue is. Micah Parsons is due for a new contract, and the Cowboys are, well, being the Cowboys. And they are doing all of the Cowboys things. Jerry Jones was doing press conferences and was talking really weird about Micah Parsons. It didn't really seem to make any sense while they were in the middle of negotiating a contract. Micah Parsons, for the most part, has stayed relatively quiet when it comes to this issue. But you know what? That time is over for him. So he released a 3-page iPhone note press conference. Now, I don't really know why you need to do this. Like, you work for a billion-dollar agency. You can't just type what you feel, send it to them, and then they put it out in a nice little electronic document. But that's not what it was. He wanted us to know that this came from the heart. Yes, I wanted to be here. I did everything I could to show you that I wanted to be a Cowboy and to wear the star on my helmet. I wanted to play in front of the best fans in sports and make this America's team again. My man went on. My man was spilling all the tea. I want you guys to remember this because this is important. Block out the noise. I tell you guys this all the time. This is the only time that you can ask for more money in the National Football League. You aren't getting this conversation in the season. No. Everybody's focused on other things. That's not the time to get your money in order. The time to get your money in order is in August. So that's what Micah Parsons is doing. I don't have any problems with Micah Parsons trying to go out and get paid. None. I don't have any problem with it. Now's the time to do it. But we've played this game before. You guys remember, this was maybe, 6 months ago now? Remember when Myles Garrett said goodbye to Cleveland and was tired of playing for Cleveland and he wanted a chance to win? He wanted a chance to finally compete for a championship. He didn't want to see his prime slip away and give it to the Cleveland Browns. What happened? Cleveland paid him, and you haven't heard a peep from Myles Garrett since, because he's one of the 5 highest paid non-quarterbacks in the National Football League. This is what the Cowboys do. None of us have been talking about the Cowboys. They're not really that interesting this year. Sure, they made a trade to go get George Pickens. We're waiting to see if Dak comes back. But you know who's been getting all the conversation? Philadelphia. They won the Super Bowl. You know who's been getting all the conversation? Washington. They went to the NFC Championship game. Wait, people are talking about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar. How can we get them talking about us? How can we lead First Take? How can we lead Undisputed? How can we? Oh, I know what we need to do. Let's create a contract controversy with our star player. In what world do you guys want me to think that the Dallas Cowboys are prepared to let their best player at 26 years old go play for somebody else? I've seen this way too many times, especially with this organization. Micah Parsons will have a brand new contract with the Dallas Cowboys before the start of the NFL season, because that's how this story always goes for the Cowboys. I don't know why the Cowboys are so hell-bent on paying the absolute highest price for all of their best players. I mean, they did this with Dak. They did this with DeMarcus Lawrence. They do this with everybody. It is just Micah Parsons' turn. I always say about NFL players, if the frustration that you have is financially related, that is an easy bridge to get over. They offer you more money. This is an easy bridge to cross if you're the Cowboys and if you're Micah Parsons. You are here, they are here, and you want to go get a deal done. This is where I do side with Micah Parsons reading this story. And this is where I do think that Jerry kind of tries to take advantage. Jerry's old school. He doesn't want to go through an agent. So Jerry Jones was negotiating a deal directly with Micah Parsons. They were having that one-on-one. As the deal was getting close, Micah Parsons, as he should, said, hey, we've had really good conversations. Let me rope in my agent. You talk to my agent. Let's go and hammer this thing home. You know I want to play with the Cowboys. Jerry mad. Now Jerry's mad. Jerry doesn't want to do this deal with an agent. He wants to do this deal directly with you. But the agent is there to make sure that you get what you're supposed to get, to make sure that your contract is where it's supposed to be. But Jerry's mad. Therefore, the back and forth. This is noise. Don't pay attention to it because it doesn't matter. Micah Parsons will be there week one against the Philadelphia Eagles in a Cowboys uniform wearing number 11 with a shiny new contract. There is no other way this story ends. So I don't need to hear, well, what can my team? Doesn't matter. They're not trading him. Well, what if we? It doesn't matter. No, they're not trading him to nobody. They've already come out and said we have no interest in trading him because we know you're going to get a deal done. So I'm not falling for it. I'm not listening to the noise. I'm not buying into the noise. I have my fingers in my ears. I have canceled it all out because I know that it's nonsense. Now, the Micah Parsons issue is very different than the Terry McLaurin issue. The Terry McLaurin issue, I mean, he's actually got a good case. Terry McLaurin is making $15 million this year. Now, again, that's a lot of money. I'm not here to tell you that $15 million is not a lot of money. It is, in fact, a whole lot of money. But if you're Terry McLaurin and you're making $15 million this year and you see that that is now 18th in terms of salary, I see why, hey, hold on, wait, like T. Higgins got paid, Jalen Waddle got paid, Brandon Ayuk got paid. I mean, there's eight receivers right now, nine receivers if you count the tie with Brandon Ayuk and Tyree. There's nine receivers that are making $30 million. There's 17 of these guys that make more money than Terry McLaurin. I see why he's upset about his contract and why he wants a new one. And right now is the time to get it. I would also tell Terry McLaurin, you are not going anywhere. You are going to play for the Washington Commanders this year. There's no other choice. The Commanders, there might not be a team that's more all in publicly than they are. They went out, they made the trade to go get Deebo Samuel. They also went out to go get Laremy Tunsil. They went to the NFC Championship game last year. They have a quarterback that's still on a rookie contract. They've got a good coach in Dan Quinn. I mean, they have Super Bowl expectations in Washington. You're not accomplishing that if you don't have Terry McLaurin on your team. He's your best skill position player. He might be your second best player on your team, period. This is another situation. Just block out the noise. None of it matters. This is how I think the Terry McLaurin situation ends. This is how I think it ends. I think they give Terry McLaurin a little bit of a signing bonus. I think they give him a little bit of money up front. Kind of like what happens when a player is on the franchise tag. So if you remember, whenever Saquon Barkley had his little holdout where he was mad with the Giants in his last year, he was owed like $15 million. They basically wrote him a $5 million check that day to make him happy. And then they created incentives on the back half to allow him to earn more money. That's what I think they'll end up doing with Terry McLaurin. He's owed 15.5 throughout the course of the season. Here, we're going to give you half. We're going to give you a third of this right now. We're going to give you $5 million today. We're going to put it right in your hand. You don't got to wait till October. We're going to give you the money right now and let's go. And then we'll put incentives in there that you can turn your base salary. And we, you know, and we'll try to give you a 50% raise. And at the end of the season, we'll have this conversation. I mean, I think that's maybe the worst case scenario. Is the best case scenario is they just give him a $2 million. They just give him a 2-year extension. I mean, I wouldn't be in the interest right now of signing Terry McLaurin to a big time extension. Like Terry McLaurin's maybe a little bit older than you think he is. He's 29 years old. He will be 30 years old in mid-September. So I don't know if I'm super interested in giving Terry McLaurin $30 million for ages 31, 32, 33, and possibly beyond. I'm not super interested in doing that if I'm Washington. But I do know one thing. For this season, while we've got you under contract, and it's a pretty good contract for us, you're not playing for another team. So like Micah Parsons, you can be mad. You are not going anywhere. Terry McLaurin will be playing this season and will be playing week one for the Washington Commanders. Again, I want the message to be very clear. Block out the noise. That's all it is in July/August when it comes to the money. They always figure it out. Lamar Jackson asked for a trade. What team does he play for? Miles Garrett asked for a trade. What team does he play for? If money is the only barrier between you and the team, they will always figure it out if they want to keep you. And the Cowboys certainly want to keep Micah Parsons, and the Commanders want to keep Terry McLaurin. So let's just sit back. Let's watch how this plays itself out. There will be more drama and more back and forth and more text and screenshots. It will be more of those things. Micah Parsons will be playing for the Cowboys this year. Same thing for Terry McLaurin. Those two franchises cannot move forward without those two players. And that usually is a big reason why a deal gets done.
I also think maybe it's the fact the NFL calendar is weird and that people start asking for raises in July right before camp. And that's a bigger problem and one we're not going to solve today. But when was the last time you saw a major trade in the NFL in August? Like, I'm talking like major, major trade. Not some Carlos Hyde type of move, not some small, you know, oh, they, you know, move on the periphery. I'm talking like a star player got traded for a mass amount of picks. These things get done in March. Eventually, Micah Parsons and Terry McLaurin are going to have to come to work. Now, could they both be in the final year of their job at their current employer? That's possible. But these teams, to maximize the value for their players, like to get these deals done ahead of the draft when they know what picks they're getting. In March, if you're the Chiefs, I'll use them in for the example, and they trade Tyreek Hill, the Dolphins, they know the exact number, round, everything for a pick. Do you know what the Cowboys can't know in August? If they trade Micah Parsons to, I don't know, pick a team, the Jets, what their pick is going to look like. Teams like clarity. So when it comes to massive, big, superstar level moves, they don't happen this time of year. This will probably end, and this is probably semantics by me, the same way that Chris Jones and the Chiefs ended. Remember, Chris Jones, he was not interested in work. No camp. He watched the Chiefs raise a banner.
I actually don't even think it's that bad. I mean, Chris Jones missed time with the Chiefs. I don't think that Micah Parsons is missing a game for the Cowboys.
I think Terry could miss a game. I think he's a little bit
I don't think either one of them are missing a game. I think the Chris Jones situation was so unique. I mean, we see these situations happen. Over the last 10 years, I mean, Chris Jones is the only player that's missed a game. Like, so since the Le'Veon Bell disagreement with Pittsburgh, we've only seen one player that was willing to get to this point. I also don't really think that Chris Jones gained anything by missing the game. Like, it'd be one thing if the Chiefs had folded and gave him what he wanted in that exact same moment. Chris Jones showed back up to work and basically had to work that final game of the season for the double-digit sacks to get back all the money that he gave back to the team. So I just don't know if Chris Jones, like, if I'm looking at this as a third party, if I'm Micah Parsons or one of these players who are unhappy, and I say I can be Chris Jones, I don't know if he's a good example of it actually ended up working out for you. I actually think this, and I don't know enough of this to say one way or the other, this seems like a violation. A, why is player and owner negotiating a deal one-to-one and then the negotiation stops when the player brings in representation? Is that not weird? Like, I don't have, like, if you're Micah Parsons, you're 26 years old. Now, I don't know enough about Micah Parsons' background, but you know what I don't think Micah Parsons has a lot of experience doing? Negotiating $100 million deals. That's what his deal is. Maybe a $120 million deal. I don't think that he has gone over many NFL contracts. That's not really his job, and he's not supposed to. That's why you hire an agent. That's why your agent, who has done this, who is experienced, who represents the biggest clients in the National Football League, that's why you give him 3%. Because of his knowledge, because of his expertise, because it's something you don't have to deal with. I mean, I would feel a way if I'm Micah Parsons when, hey, we're having good conversations. Hey, you know what? I've come as far as I can come. I don't know what's happening right now. Hey, I just want to play football. Hey, I'm going to let my agent handle this. He knows what I want. I want to be here. I want to play for you guys. I want to do this. And now Jerry won't return the calls of the agent? He won't talk to him? I mean, it seems like something I'd be complaining to the union about the way the Cowboys are doing business. But none of it matters. Deadlines make deals. You know what there's no deadline for? August 1st. You don't play football for another month. We all know how these deals work. This will get done. They always get done. Terry McLaurin, his deal will get done. There's nothing to worry about. Both of those individuals, they will end up getting a deal done. They are not trading Micah Parsons to any team in the league. Not a single one. No team. So, oh man, this team should trade two first. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No, because you're not getting a 26-year-old. No team in the league is adding a 26-year-old, maybe the best pass rusher in the league, in early August. That ain't how it works. In March, sure, you maybe had a chance. You don't have a chance heading into the season. You can't play those draft picks if you're the Cowboys. That's not how this works. Micah Parsons will be there. Terry McLaurin will be there. Block out the noise.
I agree with all of you. I agree with everything you're saying. I do think if he were actually going to be traded, which he's not, but let's just entertain it for 2 seconds, it might be the most amount of first-round picks we've ever seen trade for a non-quarterback in the history of the league. Like, he's 26. He plays arguably the second most important position on the football field. He's arguably the third best at the position, and he's about to get a major contract. Like, I think this, if this trade were to happen, which it won't, it would make the Khalil Mack trade look small in comparison. Like, the amount of equity and draft picks you'd have to give up to get Micah Parsons is astronomical. This is not a first, a second first, and a third, and we're home. It's going to be crazy what you have to give up to get Micah Parsons. Again, not a real thing, but just to speculate for fun, the amount of picks would be bananas.
I want to get to another major NFL story before I know the break is coming up soon. The game is losing one of the greats. I mean, why we love the NFL so much is it's defined by great athletes. Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, you know, the greats of the gridiron. The game is losing another great athlete. Luis Riis-Zamet has announced, hey, this football thing, it ain't for me. I mean, I tried it. I went over to America. I had Jack Stack. I went to Worlds of Fun and rode something called a Timberwolf. I didn't know what it was, but they told me it was fun. I got on it. I had a great time in Kansas City. I wasn't good enough to make the Chiefs team, and we always knew that it was going to be tough to make the Chiefs. They're the best team in the league. So then I went down to Jacksonville, Duval County. And, man, I did my best while I was there. But you know what? My best wasn't good enough. Jacksonville, they were about to get rid of me. But now I'm going back to the game that I love. Quote, I have an exciting announcement to make. I've decided to leave the NFL and return to rugby. It has been a great experience, but it's time to come home. I've decided that this is the best time to make my decision and to give myself the time to get everything back in place. There's only one thing on my mind, and that's coming back to rugby and doing what I do best. I can't explain how excited I am. There'll be more news to come, but for right now, see you soon, rugby fans. Hey, this was great. It really was. He came over here for a little bit. He got to enjoy the American culture for a bit, see if he could do something, answer a lifelong dream. He then tried it. It didn't work. Hey, I'm going to go back to what I do best, you know? Why would I? Can you imagine? These are your two options. I'm serious. These are your two options. You can go be the greatest rugby player in the world in your hometown, or you can be a backup on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Which one sounds more fun to you? It was one thing if I was going to be backing up on the Chiefs. I get to hang out with Mahomes and Kelsey, and I get to meet Taylor Swift. I play on Jacksonville. This doesn't sound fun. I can go home and be the best rugby player in the world, or I can be on the Jaguars practice squad. I'm shocked he lasted as long as over here as he did. The moment the Chiefs let me go and I got that call from Jacksonville, I don't know what their area code is, but when I got the call from the 954, I just gave them a random area code, I'd have been out of there. No, I'm going back home. I don't want to be over here. I don't want to play with you guys. That's not what I signed up for when I came over here. I signed up to be coached by Andy Reid. Not this goofy Liam Cohen. I don't know him. When I was watching playoff football and had the dream of coming over here, I didn't see Jacksonville nowhere in my dream. Good luck to Luis Riis-Zamet, man. The game is losing one of its greats, man. I'm serious. The game is losing one of its greats. It's losing one of its greats. So good luck to him. Someone says congratulations as he is going in the Chiefs fans training camp Hall of Fame. I mean, that's phenomenal. salute. I mean,
Chiefs fans on text line and Twitter have been wrong before. They have never been more wrong about a player than Luis Rees-Zammit. Because remember, the new kickoff rule, oh, the Chiefs found a secret advantage by getting a rugby player. You know what he was? Actually, you know what? He made the 53 for the Jags. So he actually achieved a lot in life. But you know what he was? He was nothing. Chiefs fans talked about him like he was about to be, oh, it was about to be something special. Remember when we said, hey, if he makes the roster, that's a win. People are like, you guys don't even know the new kickoff rules. It's like rugby. He's a rugby player. Watch out. He can tackle. He can kick. He can return. He can do it all. You know what he's doing now? Playing rugby.
You know what? I'm not even going to be mad at Chiefs fans. I just think, you know what I think? I think Chiefs fans get bored. I think they get bored. During this time for your entire childhood, you could dream a little bit, you know? You could latch on to an underdog. So when you get that chance, like when you get a chance to latch on to the underdog of Carson Steele, you got to go hard. It reminds you of your childhood. Training camp's boring for the Chiefs. It's boring. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The only thing that only bad things can happen at training camp if you're the Chiefs. It's the only thing, right? Their roster is set. We know who their starters are. Only bad things can happen at Chiefs training camp. So when you get a chance to latch on to something good, you latch on to something good. So yeah, go ahead. Go crazy now. I don't even judge you guys anymore. Go crazy. I'm shocked you guys haven't found that guy on this team yet. It's coming. Don't worry. Let Tyquan Thornton get a couple of catches against the Bears in a preseason game. You're going to start going crazy. Good. You need something to believe in August. That's what you need. You need something to believe in August. And then the real Chiefs fans know once September comes, hey, that was a nice story. Let's move on. You saw Carson Steele play one time. And you were like, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong. Justin Ross was a really good June and July to get us through. And then when the game started, it was like, no, please don't throw him the ball. That's what Luis Rees-Zammit is. He's a nice June, July, August topic. You know, good luck to you, Luis. Go back over there, dominate rugby, have a great life. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I mean, you get to go back to being the best rugby player in the world or the 52nd man on the Jaguars. This was a no-brainer decision for you to go home. We got Vern coming up in 20 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, Vern will be on the show. After Vern is on the show, we are going to play for you his conversation with the owner of the Kansas City Royals. He got a chance to catch up with John Sherman. They spoke at around 3 o'clock. We're going to talk to Vern at 4, and then coming up after 4, we are going to play our conversation, or his conversation, I guess ours is the station, with the owner of the Kansas City Royals. We have been talking about the Royals, and this is a very important stretch for the Royals. The Royals are 25-37 against teams who are 500 and better. Their next six games are against those kind of teams. They play Toronto, who is right now tied for the best record in the American League. They have the same record as the Tigers. They also play three games in Boston. Boston currently has the second wild card spot, and they are 4.5 games ahead of Kansas City. It goes without saying how important this stretch is for the Royals. You can't make the playoffs in this stretch. Like, if the Royals win all six of these games, that is not ensure that they make the playoffs. They can't make the playoffs if they underperform during this stretch. And if you can come out on the other side of this stretch where you don't have to go 4-2, you don't have to go 5-1, you don't have to do anything extraordinary, you just can't falter during this stretch. Win one of these next two series. Win one of these next two series and don't get swept. That's not that hard. They are 29-18 against teams who are under 500. So directly after this stretch against Toronto and Boston, they play Minnesota for three games. Minnesota, I think, has given up on life. Washington, who is the second worst team in the National League, just slightly ahead of the Colorado Rockies. And they play the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox, who are 40-69. They still got a handful of games against Chicago down the stretch. The Royals are not out of it. Now, I don't know how much the Royals are in it. I mean, we'll see over the course of the next 50, 60 games or so. But the Royals are certainly not out of it. But you can play yourself out of it by just one bad stretch. You have to factor in one of those four teams. So Seattle, Boston, Tampa Bay, one of those teams is going to end up getting hot. How you end up getting hot is taking advantage of Minnesota, Washington, and Chicago. In those nine games, you go 7-2, you pick up a couple of games, and next thing you know, you look up and you're a game out of the third wild card spot. So you just got to start chipping away at this thing. You're not going to be able to get all of it back in 1 week. That's usually not how this works, not when there's a bunch of teams. But you got to let some teams beat up on one another. And when you play a team like Boston that's directly ahead of you, you got to take full advantage of that. I wouldn't necessarily worry about the Toronto. Like, Toronto's just out of your stratosphere. But that series against Boston, being able to leave Fenway Park and you gained a game on a team that's directly ahead of you, that's the number one priority for the Royals over the next couple of weeks. And then it's taking care of business against those bad teams. And you can't afford to lose a series right now to Minnesota, a team that looks like they've given up. Washington, who has given up on the season a long time ago. And Chicago, who's been one of the three worst teams in baseball for the last 2 years.
I know this saying is going to anger Royals fans. And I know, I feel like we've said it now every month of the season. But that stage one, the next six games, Toronto and Boston, if you end up 3-3, which is by definition treading water, if you do that, you have a chance to really make up some ground against the dregs of baseball. The Nationals have a parade every day that the Rockies exist, or they'd be the worst team in the NL. And the White Sox are just, ugh. I mean, they are the 06 Royals bad. Like, it is just awful. See, right. The Blue Jays series doesn't really matter. Just don't get swept. And if now you win the Red Sox series and you're headed to Minnesota 3-3 on the road trip, that's fine. Because now it's time to start gobbling up the wins. But the next six games, the minimum, the baseline needs to be 3-3. You're not great if you're 2-4. If you're 1-5, the season's over. If you're 3-3, all right, you circle this window where it's bad teams. Let's get to work. And if you're better, that's found money. But by the time me and you take the air a week from today and we're talking Royals baseball, they need to have gone 3-3 against Toronto and Boston. I don't really care the how. I'd prefer to win the series against Boston than Toronto, but 3-3 is the absolute, you have to do that before heading to Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that that's really important for this Royals team, and obviously we'll see what happens. I mean, you are still in it, so to speak. And I think you just got to take this stage by stage. You got to take it bit by bit, week by week is how you have to look at it. This is a very important week for the Kansas City Royals. These are the kind of weeks that have drowned the Royals this season. The Royals, the reason they are in the situation that they're in is every single time they have had a stretch like this, an important stretch against good teams, they have always faltered. The Royals have a little bit of injuries when it comes to the rotation right now, but they've shored it up with a couple of trades. I think the lineup that they are putting out there today, I think that's the best lineup that they've put out all season if you look at it from start to bottom. I mean, it doesn't matter what you've done before this stretch. Obviously, you still got work to do, but it doesn't matter what you've done before this. If the Royals can be one of the top six teams in baseball, top eight teams in baseball down the stretch, that's a team that gives themselves a very realistic chance of making the postseason. So that's what you got to factor into. There's some pockets where you can gain a lot of ground if you want to, but there's also a couple of pockets where you can drown yourself and you look up and you're 11.5 games out in the division, and then you're 5.5, 6.5 games back in the wild card hunt. And I just don't know if there's enough time for you to be able to overcome that level of a deficit.
This feels like there was a time in May where the Royals, they had swept the Rangers, who are a team that's still in competition, and then they had the Padres, and then they had the Rays, and then they had the Dodgers in three straight series. And I remember being on the show thinking to myself, the Dodgers series, you'd like to win it, but it doesn't really matter. You just have to be okay against the Padres and survive against the Rays, get through that Dodgers series, and then you can kind of take a breath. The Royals got thumped in all three of those series. They lost in San Diego. They lost to the Rays. I believe they were swept by the Rays. And then they lost to the Dodgers. You cannot have that happen here. I know the Twins are basically DOA, but you cannot have it be Wednesday or Thursday, the 18th or the 8th or the 15th, whatever the date, and you're talking about, oh, man, these three series really doomed the Royals. That will be the end of Royals baseball for the season. Tread water here, gobble up wins. But if you can't do that, it is, you don't make it to Labor Day with us talking about it. It's just that simple. The season could be over in 2 weeks.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier. Josh Vernier has had a very busy last hour or so. He got an opportunity to sit down with John Sherman, the owner of the Kansas City Royals, and now he gets to sit down with us. We'll go through some of the trades that the Royals have made over the last 24 hours or so, like the one they made with Ryan Burgert yesterday that we had someone on the show who says that they believe that Burgert has top of the rotation kind of stuff.
Kolek can be the other guy, Stephen Kolek in the trade. He can be a back of the rotation guy. I think right now, yeah, Burgert's probably a four, but I think, you know, as he develops and gets a little bit more mature, that he could get up to like a three or a two type guy. But
That was Ben Higgins, who joined us on the show yesterday, talking about Ryan Burgert. We'll talk to Vern about that coming up in a bit. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.